Well, last week, we saw how damaging it can be when relationships are broken. That at the start of everything, as Paul and Barnabas are working together, everything is going really well. But Satan is always looking for those ways to damage relationships, to break things, to create division, so that we are not where we need to be. And yet we see that both Paul and Barnabas, because they love the Lord, move on to do good things. So, as we step forward, we look and we see that Barnabas goes off to Cyprus and Paul heads off to Syria and Cilicia. So we'll start back up in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. It says, "When he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." Now, the first thing that stood out to me as I was reading this passage is the boldness, the fearlessness of Paul for the gospel. That's our first point. Paul is fearless for the gospel. So as he takes off with Silas, now, Evelyn, can I get the map up here? Thank you. So I wanted to show you a map. This is the map of Paul's second missionary journey. Now, on the first journey, they take off from Antioch, they head over to Cyprus, up through Phrygia, and into Antioch and Pisidia. But I want you to notice something as you go on this journey. As they go on this journey, Paul doesn't waste any time at all. And he takes off straight from Antioch and goes through Cilicia, through Syria, so he was in Syria and Antioch, through Cilicia, and straight into Derbe. Now, that may not seem like a very big deal, but the thing you have to realize, as Paul was here the last time, as he was in this situation the last time, in life, he was stoned. Okay? They took these huge rocks and they tried to kill him to end his life. Now, for myself, as I look at this, I start to think, why on earth would you make the quickest trip possible back to the place where they tried to kill you? You see, I can maybe understand how Paul, after spending time healing the Derbe, went back through Lystra, how he went to Iconium, and then back to Antioch to show them that they could trust in God's protection. But to go back again at a later time, it just blows my mind. You know, the thing that we have to understand about this is, in our society, I'm not a big fan of psychology in a lot of ways, because I think psychology has taught people to be victims in our society. But one thing that I think has been very effective is understanding post-traumatic stress disorder. How when something extremely traumatic happens to us, it impacts us. Recognizing that our children, when they come home and see these horrible incidents, they're not the same person when they come back. They wake up from nightmares, horrified at the things that they've seen, explosions, people dying next to them. It's a traumatic, traumatic experience. And so the Apostle Paul, taking the time to go as quickly as he can to get back to the area of Derbe and Lystra. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like for him if he's walking into the city of Lystra and looked at the place where they threw him down? As he sees that place where they cast stones and strike him, can you imagine the kind of trauma that that would have on your life? Can you imagine
trying to walk back into that place. You know, many of those who suffered here in the Aurora Theater shooting can't even drive by the mall anymore. They can't even be in that area because it is so traumatic for them. Just being around it. And here's Paul walking back in. I have to ask myself, why did Paul do it? And I ask this because he recognizes the power of the gospel message. You see, the gospel is more important than anything else in the world, isn't it? I mean, people preach the gospel in different ways for different reasons. And one of the things that has become most common is feel-good gospel messages, right? I mean, it's like self-help gospel. Here's the thing that's going to make you feel better about life. And things like this, and feel like this, and if you trust in God, then good things are going to happen to you. And so you get kind of like the Joel Olsen's of the world that, you know, that every message is just about trying to make people feel good about their life and about the way things are going around them. And it's good for us to recognize that God can do good things in our lives, but the power of the gospel comes from the fact that we were all dead. We were all dying. There was none of us who was going on. There was none of us who was in a right relationship with God. All of us were deserving of death. The eternal damnation. It's that simple. But the fact of the matter is, through the cross of Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, all four people do not receive those blessings. They will find eternal life. And you see, when we get lost in our heads, and we start to look around at our world and say, there are people who don't know Jesus. There are people who have never experienced what it is like to know that there is hope in the world, that they can find salvation. It changes the way we look at people, doesn't it? It should make us more passionate about preaching and teaching people who Jesus Christ is. And the fact of the matter is, if anybody had a reason not to go someplace, it was Paul. If anybody could have been forgiven for not wanting to walk back into the place where he was almost murdered, it was the Apostle Paul. But did he realize the gospel was more powerful and more important than his comfort? It was more important than himself. It was more important even than his life. And he knew that these people that were living there in Lancashire needed to know that he had not given up. He'd been gone for a while. He was back at Antioch and he spent time there with the church. And he understood that we needed to see that he still had faith. It doesn't matter what they do to me, it doesn't matter what the pain is, what the struggle is, I am going to stand firm for Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe, I'm going to put my hope in him, and I'm going to walk with him. Now, most of us probably won't experience the difficulty that Paul went through. Unless for some reason God calls us off to, say, the Middle East or some place where Christians are really suffering, most of us will not experience being having stones cast at us, being put in a position to be killed. But we will face persecution, won't we? We're going to face persecution. Maybe it comes in the form of snide comments, right? Have any of you not experienced an atheist that has gone, oh, you're one of those weak people who need religion, huh? Has any of us ever not had that experience where somebody looks and says, oh, well, Christian faith is just for the weak, for people who aren't strong enough to deal with life as it is? Like, well, it is for the weak because we're all weak, and the shame is that they're too blind to see how weak they are as well. that we're all in need of Jesus Christ.
But the problem is high comments. People making light of wrongful, making light of Jesus. The problem is the times where people outcast us, right? When I came back to my faith, I lost a lot of friends. I had a lot of people that I had spent my time with that I didn't think with, but because I couldn't go where they were going, they didn't want to be around me anymore. They were ready to be done. Wash their hands. Like, hey, if you're not coming, you're not coming. Well, can we just go watch the movie? No, we're going to have a party. You're either coming or you're not. And so you experience that sense of being outcast. There's a reality too that we have to deal with sometimes. Weaker Christians, people who want to ride the fence and look and go, why don't you struggle with your faith a little bit? Look at people uncomfortable around you. You say, whoa, calm down a little bit. We experience persecution and trouble from all different kinds of places. But what we have to do is we have to understand the value of the gospel. We have to understand that what we have is the hope that the world needs. So as we look at this, we need to be willing, even if we don't have the answer, to stand up to those who make light of the gospel message. You know, I don't have to understand all apologetics to stand up when somebody says, oh, faith is just silly. It's like, well, it may be to you, but you know what? I know Jesus Christ. And I know what he's done in my life. I may not be able to explain everything that happened in this world, but I can tell you one thing. I know who I was before Jesus Christ, and I didn't like that. And I know who I am with him, and it's getting a lot better. I don't have to solve the world's problems. I don't have to answer every question that an atheist has, but I do have to stand up for Jesus Christ. I do have to stand and say, you know what? I have faith. I do have to continue to care about the people that walked out on me. You know, when I got abandoned by those friends, my first reaction, because I was hurt, was to not want anything to do with them at all. Like, fine, come on. But having faith in Jesus Christ means I don't close that door. And I do still follow. I do still make a phone call. Say, hey, just in case, you want any plans? Want to go catch a movie? Why don't we go bowling? We can go do something that doesn't have to do with getting drunk. And keeping those doors open. Having that faith to say, I'm not going to give up on you because you gave up on me. And the fact is true when we're dealing with lukewarm Christians around us, if we are not firm in our faith to go, wait a second, I'm sorry if you feel uncomfortable that it makes people uncomfortable, but I'm pretty sure Jesus told us to make people uncomfortable. I'm pretty sure he told us not to be rude or domineering or aggressive, but he told us to share our faith. And we go into all the world and preach the gospel. We will believe that baptized will be saved. Isn't that what he told us? Go, eat, share. We should be making people uncomfortable. We should be. If they don't want to talk about religion, we should still be showing them love. We should still be saying, talking about what God is doing in our lives. I still remember how people would tell me, well, can you turn off the Christian station? When I was in the military, and they'd be like, can you turn this off? Like, man, are you a ride or not? This is what I'm listening to. If you don't want to, listen, you can walk the rest of the day. We have to have that in our lives. We have to be firm in our faith. Why? Because we have the power of God and salvation. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God's salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and also for the Greek. When we stand up for our faith, when we live out what we believe, it's going to impact the world around us. People will see it, they will know it, and it will change their lives. Some will resist it and become angry.
And that's okay. That's okay. But it doesn't change our responsibility to lovingly present the gospel message. See, Paul's faith impacts Timothy. Now, there is a majority of scholars believe that Timothy was actually there when Paul was stoned. The Bible doesn't say, okay? So I can't tell you Timothy was there when Paul was stoned. But what I can tell you is that Paul had a close relationship with Timothy's family. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it's in you also." Paul was associated with this family. And Paul and Barnabas were the first ones to bring the gospel message to the city of Lystra. So who do you think they brought it? It was his mother and grandmother. They had close association with Paul. They knew him. They probably had him in their home. This was a tight-knit relationship that Paul had. So even if Timothy wasn't there to experience what happened to Paul, he certainly knew about it. He had certainly heard about this man who was brave enough to continue to preach the gospel in spite of the risks, in spite of knowing that there were people that were searching for him to end his life. And this faith gave Timothy the courage to become the minister of the gospel. See, in Acts chapter 16, verse 2, it says that Timothy was looked upon, was highly favored among the church in Lystra and Iconium. Now, this is an important thing because even though Lystra and Iconium are only 18 to 20 miles apart, which is at that time a lot of days travel, we see that Paul set up churches in each of these cities individually. And Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22 says, "And when they heard that they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.'" So what this is telling us, because he has gone to each of these cities, is that Timothy is going to each of these cities. Timothy is worshiping in both Iconium and Lystra. Timothy is encouraging in both places. And Timothy is having such a huge impact on the world around him that when Paul gets back into the region of Derby and Lystra, that's a pretty big region. It's 60 miles from Derby to Lystra, okay? That's a pretty big area to cover. But in that area, so free travel, people have heard of Timothy, and they're telling Paul to get the apostles kid. There's something special about him. He's doing great things here in Galatia. Why did he have this faith? Because Paul was bold enough to go someplace where nobody wanted him, where he was attacked, where they were thinking to murder him. And so Timothy, this young man, finds the courage to go to these very same places, to preach the gospel in his hometown of Lystra, to take that great trip to Iconium, to encourage the church, to be bold and to be faithful. It's amazing how one man's faith, one man's willingness to preach the gospel in spite of the struggles and turmoil around him, could make such huge impact. Well, the beautiful thing is that faith is a one-way street. Because Timothy's faith, in turn, has an impact on Paul. You see, once Paul and then sees Timothy's faith, he looks at his life and says, "Wow, you're coming with me here. We have work to do." He saw all the people, he saw everything that he could be all the work that he had done for the Christian church to with you and he had put into it. And as we continue the book of Acts, we're going to see that Timothy comes along on his journey, and there'll be a couple of times that Paul sends him off to encourage the church. But throughout this whole journey, Paul and Timothy will work together for the good of God's kingdom. But what is most powerful to me, the thing that really just gets it down and moves me inside, is the fact that in the very end, when Paul is getting to the final part of his ministry, he sends a letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 13, it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and my time of and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not for me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent in coming to me quickly, for Jesus has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for my ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the book, especially the parchments." You see, as Paul is coming to the end of his life, he's feeling abandoned. People are lost in ally. They're looking and they're wondering if it's worth walking this path. Send a letter to Timothy and said, "I need you. I need you to come. I need you to be here. I need to be able to count on you." Timothy has the faith to follow through to the walk of Paul. His home and his deepest need, the young man, inspires faith in the Apostle Paul. Remain faithful. Believe. Have hope. We never know what kind of impact we're going to have on the people around us. We really don't. Our faith, that one time when we stand up and are unashamed of the gospel message, might be the thing that that one person needs. That time where we don't bend on our convictions when somebody asks us to, we do the thing that causes someone to step out. You see, Paul was bold with the gospel message because he knew what he had. He knew he had the power of God. Are we the kind of people who will be bold? You know, when I started coming back to the Lord, one of my co-workers came to me and said, "John, I've seen a real change in you." He said, "You know, I grew up Baptist. This is a guy who's cheating on his life. This guy who doesn't really have any moral scruples at all." I asked him, "What happened?" It's like, "Oh, well, you know, just, you know, don't quit. Why don't you come to church with me?" No. Don't start doing that. I'm not interested. I just want to do that. I grew up. Something in the way that I was living caused him have a spark. I have no idea what happened to him. Lost touch with him many, many years ago. What if your faith is that thing that causes somebody to start thinking, like, I grew up learning to love the Lord. Something went wrong. What if your faith, that moment you stand up that person that you find honest. That moment when you make that phone call, not expecting to hear a no, let's go watch the movie, let's go bowling, let's hang out. That moment when you have the courage to tell somebody, I don't care if I'm making you uncomfortable or not, because the message of Jesus Christ is more important than anything else in this world. I have a friend who didn't make it. Share the gospel with for a long, long time. And she told me that she had met a guy who's like, look, don't start this with me. I've been on this road before. Don't start this with me. And she told me about this evangelical Christian that she had met and how passionate she was about sharing the gospel. And she finally got so frustrated, she looked at him and she said, why do you keep doing this? You know, why are you doing this? And he said, let me ask you a question. He said, if you saw a grenade on the ground right there, if you could throw somebody out of the way, save their life, what would you do? He said, throw them out of the way. He said, that's what I'm trying to do for you. You are standing on a landmine. Your eternal soul is at jeopardy, and I just want to save you. I just want to save you. Brothers and sisters, be honest. He understood the gospel. We forget that one. It's so easy to come to a place in our faith. It's so easy to take this message and to turn it into something casual. Will there be people in our lives on the day of judgment who would look at us and say, why didn't you say something? We were a Christian. I want to know that everybody I love has had the opportunity to know who Jesus Christ is. They're not all going to take it. The Bible tells us that. People will feed their own power. I have to be the one. There's a landmine. There's a grenade. Clear. See this stuff. Today is the appointed day of salvation. Jesus didn't say, wait till tomorrow. He didn't say, come. He can't come and fix your life. He didn't say, just whatever you feel is such a thing as you can do. Today is the day of salvation. If you are here today, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, if you have not died to yourself, be buried with him in baptism, and risen again to a new life, today is the appointed day. Don't put it off any longer. It's the time to accept the gospel. It's the time to accept that eternal promise that God has given you. We want to offer you that opportunity today. If you are here today and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you haven't put him on in baptism, we've got a baptistry right here. We're going to go downstairs and have a meal, and I guarantee you we can have it fueled up before we're done eating. So if you are ready to give your life to Christ, if you are ready to make that change, we're going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to say a prayer. And we stand right down here. If anybody is in need of baptism, or if you need prayer, we're trying to honor God and to honor the gospel. I'll be right down here. I'll be happy to do that with you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for your servant, Paul. Lord, I thank you for showing us that he's not a perfect man, but that he is perfect in his love for you. That he was willing to walk into discomfort, willing to face traumatic experiences to share the gospel because he understood that our faith has an impact on those around us. Lord, we pray that we will be a people like Paul, who set aside our comfort, set aside our wants, set aside our fears of persecution, to share the gospel message, to tell people about the salvation that comes from your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, make us a faithful people. Lord, I pray for those here who might struggle with sharing their faith. Give them courage. Give them the strength to step out, to be bold. Lord, I pray that there are those here who have not accepted you, that you are working on their hearts right now. Pray that you're softening them. That you're convicting them of their need for you and the change that comes. You can only come through the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you're working in their hearts, Lord. I pray that they come forward. I pray that they're ready to give their life to you today, Lord. We just want to be faithful servants, Lord, and to understand the power of your gospel message. Pray this in Jesus Christ, most holy name.